وأصحابنا الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين، سيدنا ومولانا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. وارض اللهم عن صحابة رسول الله المخلصين المحسنين المتقين السابقين الأولين ومن اتبعهم بإحسان وتمسك بالثقلين إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. From the event of, and we're going back with your permission to مكة المكرمة to Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه. And we're going back to those minutes when he heard Al-Quran al-Kareem, and this is a point so we can benefit from. When he heard the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha tanzeelan mimman khalaqa as-samaa'a al-ard wa as-samaawaati al-ula. All these ayahs of Quran, he interacted with these ayahs, knew that a human being could not have revealed these ayahs, nor could it be Jibreel. It must have been from the Lord of the world, Jalla wa'ala. And this is something we can learn from, to stand on the haqq. When we hear the haqq, that we follow the haqq, and we leave our arrogance, no matter what it is, no matter who you are, no matter what you think you are. That where our arrogance and our self melts, fil haqq, not stands against the haqq. And this is very important. Because dear brothers and sisters, people always come with the self. Always come with the ego, everybody. And the self grows until sometimes it becomes a barrier. And that barrier prevents you from receiving the haqq. But Sayyidina Umar taught us a lesson in here, radiallahu anhu, that if you hear the haqq, no matter how much you think of yourself, no matter what it is, then you follow the haqq. قال الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Two things. When you say قال الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. No, still I didn't think you heard me. قال الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. And the third is a charm. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. This is like misk. Misk al-majlis. The misk of majlis is بالصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. As-sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the hadith. He said, Ya Rasulullah, as-sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you being stingy? No, we shouldn't. Should we be stingy? No. Are you stingy people? You don't look like you're stingy people. Alhamdulillah, I see all these faces, nur coming out of them. I don't see anybody stingy. So, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Because the beauty of life is by saying صلاة and سلام on him صلى الله عليه وسلم. No success in this life and in hereafter except by following his sunnah. And one of the keys to follow his sunnah is by making صلاة and سلام on him صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's what he ordered us. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said في القرآن إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. He said, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The smiles and your heart, direct your heart. You direct your heart to the Medina, direct it. Don't keep it here in Rochdale. Rochdale will always be here. But take these opportunities to direct your heart somewhere else, where it should be. It should be. The heart should be there. إن الإيمان لا يأرز المدينة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث صحيح في البخاري says الإيمان will go to, will resort to Medina. There will be a time where Iman will only go back to Medina. Like a snake goes in its own home, and the little dig that digs, that little house it builds, and the Iman will go back to Medina. Shrinking little bit, little by little. I have things I need to ask Allah. Dua. You know, nowadays our dua is, oh Allah, I want a car. Oh Allah, I want a house. Oh Allah, I want to marry. That's fine. That's all good. These are all good things. You should ask Allah for a house. You should ask Allah for a car. You should ask Allah for a wife. Or the wife should ask Allah, or the woman should ask Allah for a husband. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have all these, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, I have all these needs, I ask Allah. And out of my dua, how much should I make salat and salam on you? Out of my dua, how much? 1/4 of my dua time, salat and salam on you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him, said, if you do half a quarter of your time, that's good, khair. And if you increase it, it's better for you. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam. As-sahabi, radiallahu anhu, said, Ya Rasulullah, how about if I make half of my dua, salah and salam on you? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sallam. He said, that is good, khair. You make half of your dua, salah and salam on you, khair. And if you increase, it's better. Allahu Akbar. As-sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, how about if I make all my dua, I don't ask anything, I make all the dua time, salah and salam on you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, then Allah will protect you and will give you all you want. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad hatta yarda, until he satisfied. May Allah give our salah and salam on him, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, until he's satisfied. Salah that is worthy of his status, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And therefore, the hadith narrated by Ibn Majah, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, those among you who sit closest to me in the day of judgment, where do you want to sit? The first row? Second row, how far do you want to sit? Inshallah. You have to get your tickets from now. Subhanallah. And then it's too late. Too late. And you say, I wish I was one row closer. If those of you, أقربكم مجلسا مني يوم القيامة, those who are closest to me in my majlis in the day of judgment, أكثركم صلاة علي, those who make صلاة and سلام most on me are will be closest to me on the day of judgment. So وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون, and in this those who want to compete should compete. This is the competition ground. The competition is in the love of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, practicing the Quran, practicing the authentic sunnah, adhering to the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, making salat and salam on him all your life. Wallah, if you made salat and salam on him صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, by Allah, if you made it with every breath you take till you die, it's not enough.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
The more you do, the best, the better it is. Instead of worrying about what party does this person belong to, and what jama'ah does he belong to, and what madhab is he following, and what opinion is he taking? Ya akhi, get busy with salah and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe your heart will be opened then, and maybe you'll see the nur of truth, and maybe then you'll go and practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a uniter, not a divider. Imagine, like many things happen nowadays, when If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't want to be asleep, still early. If he said, people didn't believe, oh Allah, people are not believing in me, oh Allah, destroy them. Who's going to remain Muslim? Few people may believe. Khadija radiallahu anha, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua, these people don't believe in me, oh Allah, destroy them. They're kuffar, kill them. What happens? Who's going to become Muslim? Islam? No, with the mercy. With the mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, give him guidance. They're not believing. He goes to al-Ta'if, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes to al-Ta'if and people throw stones at him. And more than stones, they take the filth of the sheep and the goats and they throw it at him. And he's telling them, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, you will succeed. That's all. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. I'm not asking you any ajr. I'm not asking you money. All I'm trying to tell you, say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. You will be successful. And they say, no, here. Throw him. And send the little kids to say bad things to him. And hurt him until his feet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bleed in the da'wah. And how is he saying the da'wah? In the best of manners. And he is the best of the creation. And he has the best of messages. And he has the best of tongues. And the best of words. And the best of hikmah. And the best of adab. And the best of morals. And the best of behavior. And still are throwing things at him. And he turns around and he says, oh Allah, give hidayah to my people because they don't know. We are far and far and far. We wait for our brothers to make a mistake. And if they don't make a mistake, we trap them to make the mistake. It's time for us to take a step back and look at the sunnah of Al-Habib Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Instead of making enemies of each other, we should love each other. We should be completing each other. Complementing each other. Not taking an axe and trying to beat each other. My way or the highway. Either with me or against me. SubhanAllah. So we can learn from Umar radiallahu anhu wa ardah. How to, if you listen to the haqq, listen to the Quran. Huh? طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. الله أكبر. عمر رضي الله عنه hears this. He has no way but to believe. He said, the one who said these words must be Allah. It cannot be anybody else. طه قرآن إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. But this is a تذكرة. This is a reminder. He hears this. Sayyidina Umar heard this. And it's interacting. When we read the Quran, dear brothers, the reason we're going through the seerah, this is not just events and stories. We're going through the stories of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, wa Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali radiallahu anhum. No. These stories are not there for entertainment. These stories are there so we can take lessons from, so we can practice. Huh? Allah tells us this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةً. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةً. In their stories, in their events. Why one-third of the Quran tells us about Musa, وهارون, فرعون, وهامان, عاد, وثمود. Why? It's a story. Some people say, it's history, alhamdulillah. It's done over. Let's worry about now. If you don't know your history, you don't know your presence. Because history repeats itself. Don't think that things change. Things are always the same. Abu Jahl still lives. Maybe not in his own same, in a different person, but Abu Jahl lives and Abu Lahab is here. We have Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and everybody. Like every time in history, there is Qarun, there will be Qarun. There is Fir'aun. People change and people die and the roles remain. And the Muslims, as carriers of hope, growth, opportunity, peace and prosperity to the worlds. And that's what we are. We have a role. Whether times get tough or times get nice and comfortable, Muslims should be consistent in their message to deliver hope to humanity. And from the madrasa, and I say, you say, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, what school did he graduate from? What university? University of Oxford? He graduated from the University of Muhammadun Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. This is the madrasa. And the one who graduates from this madrasa is unstoppable. Therefore, they couldn't stop Umar radiallahu anhu. If history was written correctly, and if we were to open the books of history, we would see some scenes from history. You would see a scene where Umar radiallahu anhu, and if Medina can talk, Medina Munawwara will tell you that Umar radiallahu anhu came one day and he was walking at night. Heard a woman with kids crying. We're gonna go through some scenes from the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. She's crying, kids are crying. He goes, he knocks the door. What is wrong with you? She doesn't know who he is. She says, I have no food. I put some water in the pot and some rocks, and I am stirring the pot. So my kids hear this noise, thinking that there's food, and they will sleep. They will give up after a while, thinking food is coming, they will sleep. I have nothing. Nothing. He said, how come? She said, غفر الله لي عمر. May Allah forgive Umar. Doesn't know he's Umar. May Allah forgive Umar. ولي أمرنا وغفل عنا. He became our leader, our Khalifa, and he forgot about us. He became the leader and forget. Many people now, once they reach, they promise you everything in the world. Once they reach the position, they forget about everybody. So he teaches you, Umar radiallahu anhu teaches you accountability. How you should be accountable. Because you're accountable to who in the first place? To Allah Jalla wa Ala. You're accountable to Allah. You know what the motto of Umar radiallahu anhu was? Wallah, he used to say, Wallahi law atharat baghla fi al-Iraq lasa'alani Allah anha lima lam tuslih laha at-tariqa ya Umar. The meaning is, Sayyidina Umar used to swear, he said, well, by Allah, if a mule, baghla means mule, if a mule kind of falls on the way in Iraq, and he's in Medina, in Iraq, Allah will judge me and will ask me in the day of judgment, why haven't you repaired the mule, the road for the mule, ya Umar? The mule fell, why haven't you repaired the road for him? This is the accountability. Teaches us responsibility and accountability. Two things that are very missing in nowadays world. You miss them. Where is accountability? Where is one day they say there is something and then they don't find anything. Okay. She said, Yali Amrana wa yalha yaghfal anna. He became our leader and he forgot about us. He said, Ya Amatallah, stay where you're at. Stay put. He went back. And he went to the storage and he asked a helper, he said, put this bag of wheat on my back. Put the bag of wheat, heavy, big bag of wheat. Put it on my back. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, should I carry it for you? Sayyidina Umar tells him again, put the bag on my back. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I put it on my back, I carry it for you. He said, put the bag on my back. Are you going to carry my sins for me in the Day of Judgment? Day of Judgment, are you going to carry my sins? He said, no. But he took it and he went to that woman. He said, I want to make a contract with you. She said, what? He said, I'm going to give you this bag of wheat. Tomorrow morning, you go to Umar. Ask about him. Go to him. And talk to him. She said, okay, fine. I will go and complain to Umar tomorrow morning. See, they used to say Umar. The people used to say Umar as well. Or Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's two titles. His name and Amir al-Mu'mineen. Nowadays, how many people, how many titles they have? Million titles. Look at my name, you can tell. I didn't approve of all these things, by the way. Huh? Just so you know. I write my name without any titles. But anyway. All these things. Anyway. She came next morning. She went. She went to the palace. Right? Royal palace. What royal palace? Where is the royal palace of Umar? In the masjid. In the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his royal palace. And believe me, it's the most honorable royal palace there is. And all of a sudden she saw the same man who came last night and people are calling him Amir al-Mu'mineen. She started shaking. No. He told her, don't worry. I'm going to make a contract with you. What is your contract? I'm going to buy from you the injustice I caused you. So you forgive me in the day of judgment. Do you agree? I agree. Injustice. One injustice. Be careful when you do injustices to your fellow Muslims. Just because maybe they don't follow your exact ideology or your exact thinking, it doesn't mean that their blood, it doesn't mean that their honor, it doesn't mean that you can talk about them, it doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to them. They're still Muslims and Allah will account you. When they say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, then they have rights and obligations upon you. It doesn't matter whether you agree with them or not. Be very careful. Because there will be a day and a day of judgment, as the hadith in Sahih Muslim says, where people will come. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you know who's bankrupt? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, Ya Rasulullah, the one who's bankrupt is the one who doesn't have any money, no dirham wala dinar, al muflis. He said, no. The one who is bankrupt is the one who comes in the day of judgment and he talked about this man, he talked about that man. Talk about this man and talk about that man. So this man and that man will take from his hasanat and his rewards until they are satisfied. And then he will be bankrupt from hasanat and he will go to Jahannam. Scenes from the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. One time, as narrated by Ibn Hisham or Ibn Athir, rahimahum Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar was walking at night and he heard this conversation, overheard the conversation. The seller of the yogurt, of the milk, probably have heard of it. The one who sold, used to sell milk. A female, an older woman, who used to sell milk in Medina. And she's telling her daughter, at night, she's telling her daughter, give me some water. And at that time, as you know, the houses were from mud. Yeah, you can hear, they're not simple. Nowadays, when people want to go as far as they live, you have to have two-story home. And five bedrooms, three bathrooms. Subhanallah. There's no more barakah in anything. People want to go grow, yes. Now they have six, seven bedrooms and all these bathrooms. But where's the barakah? Back in the old days, they had one room with all the family and there was barakah. There's no barakah anymore in the food we eat, in the money we earn, in the houses we live, in the cars we drive, in the jobs we have, and even at the education, in our kids, there's no barakah. You don't see the barakah, subhanAllah. May Allah restore all these things. It's a sign of the day of judgment. And a sign of being far away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as sunnah sahiha. He heard her telling her daughter, go bring me some water. And the daughter replied, why do you want water, O mother? And then the mother said, so I can mix the milk with some water. It'll be increased this way. We can sell it and make more money. Cheating. Flat out cheating. People cheat. And Muslim does not cheat. Muslims don't cheat. Muslims deal with people with respect. Can Muslims cheat non-Muslims? No. Muslims cannot cheat non-Muslims. Cannot lie to non-Muslims. Cannot steal from non-Muslims. Cannot do injustices to non-Muslims. No matter what happens, Muslims have a standard all the time, whether they are with Muslims or non-Muslims. They are truthful, they are trustworthy, and they are just. Umar heard this. A daughter telling her mother, a mother telling her daughter, so we can mix the milk with water. This way we sell it for more and we make more money. But then the daughter told her mother, she said, aren't you afraid? And the mother said, no, because Umar is not seeing us. Umar's not around. We're in our house. And then the daughter replied, But the God, the Lord of Umar, the creator of Umar sees us. If Umar doesn't see us, the creator of Umar sees us. Sayyidina Umar went back to his home. And he called his sons. He had Asim, Abdullah, and other sons. He called them. He said, I have a proposition for you. That same day, same night. They said, what? He said, either you marry this daughter of the milk seller or I marry her.
Allah. Oh, yeah. Subhanallah.
You marry that one or I marry her? Which one? And then who ended up marrying her was Asim. Asim, the son of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Next day he called her and he married that daughter. And that daughter, of course, that marriage, they brought a daughter from that marriage. Her name was Layla. Asim and the daughter of the milk seller got married and they had a daughter named Layla. And Layla was the mother of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. It runs in families, don't they say it runs in families? Of course it runs in families. Make no mistake, As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his daughter was Aisha radiallahu anha, As-Siddiqa. It runs in families or not?
Yes,
sir. And the proof it runs in families, I'll tell you this. Fi Surah Al-Kahf, when Al-Khudr alayhi salam goes with Musa alayhi salam in the trip. And we don't want to go extensively, this takes too much time, but we'll just cover a little bit. And you know when Al-Khudr and Musa alayhi salam, they go into this village and they ask people for food. They're hungry, been traveling all the day. They have no food, they're starving. And they go ask for some bread, knock the door, people close the door. We don't have anything, go away. And then on their way out of the village, they see a house with a wall leaning down, almost falling. And Sayyidina Al-Khudr alayhi salam tells Musa, hold on, we're not gonna leave. What are we gonna do? We're gonna open a construction company. We're gonna build this wall, rebuild this wall again. Musa alayhi salam says, these people, they wouldn't even give us a piece of bread, and now you wanna build their wall, you wanna build their city for them? فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فوجد جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقاما. الخضر عليه السلام straightened the wall. قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا. You should have taken at least something for this. Musa, he told them. Now at the end of the explanations, why? He says, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ. Al-Khudr is telling Musa alayhi salam, you're asking me why did I do that? The wall that I straightened, this wall, كَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. This was for two orphans, two little orphans that live in this village. This wall and this land. And under this wall, وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. There was a treasure, there was money, there was lots of gold under this wall. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا. Allah wanted that these two orphans grow old a little bit, become young and become responsible. وَيَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. So they can take their kanz. Why? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father used to be a pious man. Allah, because their father was a pious man, wanted to protect them until they grow and they get the treasure, they get the money. So therefore, if you are pious, your kids, Allah will take care of your kids. If you have taqwa, Allah will take care of your kids. If you want a good future, to secure your future for your kids, have taqwa. Because without the taqwa, you're not securing anything. Money comes and goes. Another scene from the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is when he sent the Muslims to Egypt, and Muslims were sent to Egypt to liberate Egypt. It was an army of liberation to give them freedom with La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And a third time, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina. Sayyidina Umar and his Khilafah, of course, before we say that, he is the first one that was given the title Amirul Mu'mineen, the first Khalifa. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, people did not call him Amirul Mu'mineen. They called him Khalifa Rasulullah. They said, Ya Khalifa Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then in the beginning of the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar, people used to call Sayyidina Umar, Ya Khalifa Rasulullah. And then the Muslim said, wait a minute, I mean, what if we have 100 Khalifas? What are we going to say? Khalifa, 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 Khalifa. They said, no, let's make this innovation of guidance. Let's bring something, make something, and call him, we are mu'mineen, and you are our Amir, so you are Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then he was called Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the first one to be called Amir al-Mu'mineen, and after him, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, were called Amir al-Mu'mineen, of course, right, righteously. Everybody now calls himself Amir al-Mu'mineen. But those are the righteous people that should be called Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is also the first one who told Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa arda to put the Qur'an together. Sayyidina Umar had the idea. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu executed the idea under his command and permission and supervision. But Sayyidina Umar came with the idea. He said, this is a good idea. Do it. And he is the first one, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, is the first one to gather people to pray Taraweeh in Jama'ah. First one said, people, let's go to Taraweeh, Jama'ah. Now you see Taraweeh, people praying Taraweeh in the entire earth, is Sayyidina Umar's guidance. And he is the first one who carried a dirra. A dirra. He carried always a dirra with him. What is a dirra? A dirra was like a piece of wood, probably this big, and the tip was enlarged. And he carried it with him for a reason. For those people who always ask questions that are meaningless. And ask questions in the sake of creating fitna and division. Sayyidina Umar had a medication for them. And the pharmacy of Sayyidina Umar released the weapon of Sayyidina Umar called Ad-Dirra. He brings him, come here, keeps hitting him with it until he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm done. One came to him, as Ibn Hisham narrates, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, in his khilafah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. How? Looked at him, he's a man, he wants to create division, fitna. He said, how? Come here, I'll show you how. He came closer, he took Ad-Dirra with the head, the enlarged head, keep hitting him on his head. How? Here's how. He keeps hitting him, and then the man said, and the blood coming out, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you're trying to kill me, keep going. Otherwise, I got my answer. Your point is clear. Because nowadays you have people who, with their own opinion, they want to subjugate the Quran. The Quran and the Sunnah are supposed to subjugate our minds. But people nowadays, they want to subjugate and the Quran and the Sunnah with their minds. Subhanallah, ajeeb. Amazing how people do. Of course, Sayyidina Umar was sensitive to many things. You see him like this tough when toughness is required, and very sensitive when sensitivity is required. Ahli Sirah, ulama Sirah, almost unanimous in this. They said when Sariya went to Nahawand. Nahawand is almost close to the Caspian Sea, which is called now Iran. And Sayyidina Umar was in Medina doing khutbah. Doing khutbah, day of Jum'ah, and Sayyidina Umar doing the khutbah and telling the Muslims, guiding them. And all of a sudden, Sayyidina Umar, he sent this army to Nahawand for there was a battle, so they can liberate this land and the people of this land and introduce to them the message of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar in the middle of all that, and he's in Medina, he stands up and says, Ya Sariya al-Jabal al-Jabal. Ya Sariya al-Jabal al-Jabal. Sariya is the name of the leader of the army, and al-Jabal means the mountain. At that same time, way over thousands of miles away, in Nahawand, in the northeast of Iran right now, Sariya with the Muslim army was fighting, and there was a mountain next to them, and the kuffar were going to come behind the mountain, from behind the mountain, and come and kill all the Muslims. And Sariya radiallahu anhu, he heard the voice of Sayyidina Umar in Nahawand telling him, be careful from the mountain.
Subhanallah.
A sahaba, they said, oh, this is one, some other people, not every other sahaba, some people were sitting there, they said, what is happening with Umar? He's saying, Asariya al-Jabal, the mountain, be careful of the mountain. Where is Sariya? Where is the mountain? What is wrong? They came to him and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what is this you said in the middle? We didn't understand. What are you talking about? Huh? He said, don't worry. Sariya comes back with the army of Muslims to Medina. And the army of Muslims, they all swear, they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have heard you telling us, be careful of the mountain. Other narrations, among another scene from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and the scenes from the memoirs of Sayyidina Umar never ending in that sense, yani, in the sense of time, we don't have enough time for them. In the khilafah of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala alayh, Sayyidina Ali was his qadi, the mufti general of the state of Muslims at that time. And the khilafah of Sayyidina Umar was Ali ibn Abi Talib. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, and this is a famous thing that he said, no one gives fatwa while Ali is available.
Subhanallah.
No one. You give fatwa, be careful. And of course, Sayyidina Umar, you do not disobey him easily. If you don't have a proof, dalil. Sayyidina Umar, well, where's your dalil? One time, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came to him, knocked on his door, on Sayyidina Umar's door. And then no one opened. Maybe Sayyidina Umar was doing something, busy. And then Abu Musa al-Ash'ari left. And Sayyidina Umar said, who was in the door? They said, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He said, why did he leave? He left. He said, if he doesn't bring a proof why he left, I will whip him tonight in front of everybody. Sahabi, yeah, whip him. Abu Musa, he heard this, starts shaking. What do I do? He said, wallah, there is a hadith. I heard, he's going, asking the Sahaba, have you heard the hadith, if you knock 3 times and they don't open for you, leave? Some Sahaba said, yes, we heard. He said, please come with me to Umar. He took them and went to Sayyidina Umar. He said, wallah, ya Amir al-Mumin, here's the hadith. I heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa I'm off the hook. You're in trouble. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Hadith, yes. There's a hadith. That's why, if there is, and there shouldn't be argument, there should be discussion. If you discuss things with your fellow brothers, with different walks of life and different things, you should always be aware of the dalil. Ask for the proof. And the proof should be constituted from the Quran and the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said and she said, this is old. He said and she said, we're over that, inshallah. Another scene from the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and if history was to talk, it would tell you this. Ali radiallahu anhu comes to Sayyidina Umar in the time of Sayyidina Umar's Khilafah and knocks his door. Sayyidina Umar, it was at night, after Maghrib maybe. Sayyidina Umar tells Sayyidina Ali, he asks him, he said, Ya Ali, did you come to visit me in a personal visit, or this is a visit regarding some Muslim issue that you want to talk to me about? He said, yeah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, ya Umar, this is a person. As-Sahaba were brothers. He said, this is, I came to just to visit you for Allah. How many times do you visit brothers for Allah? You have to start go visiting people. Why do you come? I'm coming to visit you for Allah. Just for Allah. Start doing that. If you're not doing that, then we should start doing that. Sayyidina Umar, when he heard this, there was a candle lighting up the room. He blew the candle off. Sayyidina Ali said, it's dark. He said, Ya Ali, I bought this candle from Bayt al-Mal of the Muslims. And this is a private conversation. I cannot spend the money of Bayt al-Mal on our private conversation. Now you see cars and palaces and everything on Bayt al-Mal. Everybody takes on Bayt al-Mal. Money of Muslims, حقوق. These are the rights of Muslims. They will be accountable. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ Another scene of the through the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is what the ulama of Sira narrate in the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Ali is talking. Sayyidina Ali is saying, I prayed Isha and Qiyam and slept. The reason he's saying that, so you remember that we should do Qiyam. How many of us are doing Qiyam every day? How many of us are doing Qiyam once a week? On Thursday night, Friday night. Thursday night, yeah, coming to Friday. We have to ask ourselves these things. This is the real battle. It's easy. We all can sit and give all kinds of theories. Everybody, mashallah, alhamdulillah, Muslims are all born leaders. All chiefs. The problem is that we don't have anyone. They say like there's all chiefs and no Indians. Alhamdulillah, we have lots of Indians. Allah. He said, I prayed Isha and I prayed Qiyam. And I slept. Sayyidina Ali is talking. In the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar, that time. And in my dream, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali saw him. And I saw him as we are praying Fajr together after he left sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of a sudden a woman comes with a plate filled with dates. Dates, nice, tamar. And she gives me the plate. Sayyidina Ali is saying, she gave me the plate and she told me to give it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina. I took the plate, amana. She said, give it to the Prophet. I gave it. I said, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In my dream still. I gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, Ya Rasulullah, a woman came and gave me this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took and ate one date. And then he took and gave me one date. In the dream. He said, this date was so sweet. Sayyidina Ali said, it was the sweetest date I have ever eaten. It's like I've never eaten something like this before. And I said, Ya Rasulullah, give me another date. In a dream. And then Sayyidina Ali said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave me another date. And I tasted the second date. And Sayyidina Ali said, the second date is even sweeter than the first date. He said, I couldn't help it, but to ask him the third time, I said, Ya Rasulullah, give me one more date. And at that time, I woke up from my dream on the muadhin, calling Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He said, I made wudu, and I went to the masjid. Made wudu, went to the masjid to pray. Sayyidina Umar came, of course, he's the Khalifa. He's gonna be the Imam. He said, all of a sudden I saw the same woman I saw in the dream coming to the masjid and told me, here's a plate of dates, give it to Umar ibn Khattab. He said, it overtook me. I took the plate of date, it's like she said, and I went to Umar. I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, here's a plate of dates the woman just gave me. And he's can't, what is it? And then Sayyidina Umar took one date, ate it, and he gave him one date. He said, taste. He said, I tasted the date. It was like the same date the Prophet ﷺ gave me. The same taste gave me in the dream. Sweet, the sweetest taste I've ever seen. And then he said, I couldn't help but to ask him. I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, give me one more date. And he said, Sayyidina Umar took one more date from the plate and gave it to him. He said, here. He said, when I tasted the second date, it was sweeter than the first date. The taste I had in my dream. I couldn't help but to ask him for the third one. I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, give me the third date. Sayyidina Umar looked at him and he said, if Rasulullah had given you one more, I would give you. They didn't give you. If he had given you a third one, you would have gotten a third one. Is he enough? Al-arwahu junudun mujannada. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what Imam Muslim narrates in his Sahih, said al-arwah, the souls are like soldiers. جنود مجندة. ما تعارف منها تلف وما تناكر اختلف. Those souls that love each other, they are always around each other. Even in the world of arwah. In the world, not in the world of bodies, in the world of souls. And those souls who don't like each other, they will always disagree. In the world of souls. I know time is coming. I will finish with this. And really the scenes of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's khilafah are beautiful and there's so much we can learn from them. When Sayyidina Umar, I'll finish my first thing, that first scene that I told you, or second, or whichever it is. When Sayyidina Umar sent the army to Egypt, to liberate Egypt, and the Egyptians at that time, as you know, if you went to Egypt, you will see they have the Nile River, huge river. The tradition at that time, Egyptians used to do, they used to, every year, they would take the best looking girl, young girl, they would choose the best looking one. They would dress her nicely, and they would take her in a boat, and dump her in the middle of the river and come back. Why? Because the river, the Nile River, gets married once a year. Otherwise, what was their myth? Otherwise, if the Nile River doesn't get married every year to the best looking girl, then he will get upset and he will flood all our lands. Look at some people still have these kind of beliefs sometimes. Oh, ajib. Yeah, Islam came to abolish all these khurafat, all these things are superstitious. We don't have any superstition in Islam. No. We have to give him one every year. We have to give the Nile River one female, the best looking female, so it doesn't get angry and flood all our lands. Every year, Muslims, when the Muslims arrived from Medina to Egypt, they looked and said, what is this? You're killing a human being, human life. This is Islam values human life. Islam did not come to shed human life and to shed blood. Islam came to preserve human life. Because human life, regardless what it is, it has some value. Allah created that human life. What Amr al-As, what is he going to do? He talks to the people of Egypt. They're not going to listen. They're not listening. He said, no. You don't understand. If we don't stop, the Nile River will get very angry, will get mad, and we will flood our lands. We cannot do this. We have to send. He sent a message right away to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, Allah. He said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is the problem. Sayyidina Umar heard this. He said, okay. Where's his writer? He called his writer. He said, write. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He said, ya Amir, what are you writing? He said, I'm writing a letter to the Nile River. From Umar ibn al-Khattab to Nahr al-Nil to the Nile River. Allahu Akbar. He said, from Abdullah, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen to Nahr al-Nil. Assalamu alaikum. What else? He said, he told Nahr al-Nil, if you, إذا كنت تجري بأمريكا, فلا حاجة لنا بك. If you are flowing because of what you want, then we don't want you to flow anymore. And if you are flowing because Allah wants you to flow, then I am asking Allah who made you flow to keep flowing. Wassalamu alaikum. He said, drop this up, take it to the river, and drop it in the middle of the river. Instead of where you drop the bride, drop now this letter from Umar. And the people took this, and this is a letter from Umar al-Khattab. They dropped it. And they waited, and they never did not flood. The river did not flood. The river heard? Of course they hear. Because the creator of the river is the one who makes the river flood or not flood. Not the river by itself. So therefore you see, through the lives of Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, the establishing of the authentic and pure belief, the establishing of justice, the justice system that was established by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The things that, the da'wah for Allah, you see Umar radiallahu anhu being the father, being all kinds of things. We'll end with this when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was killed and martyred by a man named Fayruz. His name is Fayruz. He was a servant for Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah. And this man, he said, of course, the narrator said that this man waited for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu till he came out for Fajr, Fajr Salah. And in the middle of the prayer, he came and hit him, stabbed him so many times with this dagger that he had. And Sayyidina Umar fell shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they carried him to his home right away, as Sahaba radiallahu anhum, after praying Fajr. And the first thing when he opened his eyes after he lost consciousness, he said, did the Muslims pray Fajr? Did the Muslims pray Fajr? The importance of praying Fajr. So you can see. And then, he knew he was leaving, departing the Sahaba al-Kiram radiallahu anhum. He made a commission. Council of member, 6 people. They said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, as-Sahaba said, why don't you just appoint somebody? Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appointed you, just say one person. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not appoint anybody. who's better than me, and someone who's better than me, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, appointed somebody. So I'm not going to appoint anybody. I will leave it within six. I will leave the Khilafah within six people who I know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam left and he was pleased with them. The remainder of the 10, there were six remaining. He left them. He said, among you, a Khalifa must come. And he put Abdullah ibn Umar, his son, as an overviewer. He says, you overview, make sure that they come up with a Khalifa within 3 days. With this, of course, the curtain closes on the life of one of the people that influenced not only the Muslim life, influenced humanity as we know it, and influenced the world as we know it today. فرضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه وألحقنا به آمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.